Welcome to the National Federation of the Blind's 2025 Senior Retreat, a time for empowerment, connection and growth. A special thanks to Janie Degenshain, Zoom administrator, and her team for a seamless retreat. Your dedication makes this event possible. Thank you for joining us on this journey.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, zip and zip it, lock it, fill it, curl it, find it, view it, code it, gem and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pose it, pick it.
Hey everybody, it's tech time and you are in for a treat. And if you think I can talk fast, Matt has me beat. Only he's going to talk a little slower on 45 speed instead of 78 speed. But you're going to learn a lot, and you're going to have a lot of questions, I hope, at the end. Matt is a wonderful friend of the NFB and a special place in our hearts in NFB, New Jersey. He comes on my tech calls often and always says yes. He's been at our retreat multiple times. He's come to our state conventions many times. He always is a friendly voice. And has a lot to learn. You have a lot to learn about Apple products. I call him Mr. Apple. And boy, does he have delicious words to tell us. Matt, you have the floor.
Well, thank you, Janie. I really appreciate it. And thanks so much for making me feel like part of the New Jersey family of NFB there. It's so awesome. And you guys are wonderful. Truly a blessing to be here today. And excited to share some things with you. Before we get started, I have two very quick pieces of business. The first one is I'm going to make a change to my settings here. And I'm not taking up too much time with this, but I want to let you all know. I'm going to be enabling what they call original sound. These modern devices, they're so good at noise suppression, right? Because you don't want to hear the wind and the air conditioning and everything when you're, you know, using your microphones. But they're so good at it that if I try to hold up another device here with VoiceOver and do demos, you won't be able to even understand what VoiceOver is saying. So I've got to enable original sound. Now, the caveat with that is if I so much as touch my shirt, you're going to hear that noise, and I even have to talk softer so it doesn't distort. But it's a worthwhile trade-off so you can get to hear VoiceOver, and I will do everything I can to keep the background noise to a minimum. I appreciate your understanding, and give me 1 second while I make that change.
Sound button. Speech off.
Okay. All right. So you can obviously tell the difference. I have to make a really strong effort to talk quietly. My wife says I don't have an inside voice. Well, I have to prove her wrong here today. But the second piece of business is I was just super excited, but I didn't want to take anybody else's time because I knew I was going to have the floor. There is an accessible air fryer. And in fact, it's made by a company called Kosori. So just to piggyback off of the conversation that was being had a few minutes ago when I came in. The Kosori line of products, the one that I have is and I'm not sure where that noise coming from. That's not me. I don't know what that background noise is. I couldn't tell you, but maybe someone's unmuted or something. I don't know. Anyhow, the Kosori is a 13-in-1. So you got, I don't even know what they all are, air fry, bake, toast, dehydrate, rotisserie, sous vide. There's a bunch of them. But anyhow, it is app enabled. So I have an app. It also has dials, but I have an app on my iPhone that lets me set the mode, set the temperature, even look at the history and go back and, you know, reuse the settings. And it's really awesome. And it works very, very well with the iPhone app. And it also works quite well with Alexa, so you can tell her to do some of the core functions as well. Just wanted to share that because I thought some people may be interested in that after what I was just hearing. Right, thank you. Ahead. I appreciate. No problem. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And anyhow, so Kosori, check that out because it's got a fully accessible app. And that's kind of what I'm here to talk about today anyway, is I like to call it a day in the connected digital life. And every year when I come to these, I like to share some things that I do on a daily basis with my devices and maybe give some demos of some highlights of things that I'm pretty excited about that Apple's added to their, you know, software in the recent months or years. I always share that for my family and me, technology is truly an integral part of everything that we do. So, you know, from the time that we get up in the morning, and sometimes it's even the night before. You know, when we load the coffee into the coffee maker, we have a smart plug and we can set that to automatically make coffee at a certain time in the morning, and I can do that from my iPhone. And it also knows whether people are home or not. So if nobody's home, it's not going to make coffee if we were on vacation or something. And you know, when my wife and kids go to work and school this time of year, because it's during the school year, you know, I can double check after they've left, and I can say to SIRI, I can say, "Is the garage door closed?"
The main garage door is closed.
And so I can, you know, ask about the thermostat. I can adjust the temperature and lights and door locks, you know, these kinds of things, all from the iPhone. And throughout the day, you know, when it's time to eat, I can use the iPhone in a number of ways that are food related. I'm going to demonstrate one in a few minutes for you, which is a grocery list, but we can also use it for recipes. We can use it to order food out. We can use it to get directions to a nearby restaurant. So there's so many ways that we can use that. And as I said, I'm going to actually demonstrate the grocery list feature that's built into iOS now. That was not added this year, but I think it was last year. And then throughout the day, whether I am creating podcasts, which I do a lot of, or whether I'm designing a website, whether I'm creating a document, a PDF, or a keynote presentation, I'm doing all of this on my devices. And when there's times I need to do research or book trips or anything, you know, using Safari, of course, the more obvious things of using email and messages, you know, all of these things throughout the day. I read to my kids, not as much anymore because they're getting older and they like to read, but, you know, we can read together with the Apple Books app, the Bible app. There are just so many ways. Even watching TV and all of those kinds of things really does come down to using technology now. And I want to go back to this one I mentioned to you about planning a trip, because it amazes me every time we travel. And you know, we have had the honor of coming to New Jersey for several of the state conventions. And we, you know, certainly look forward to that possibility again. But there have been other trips too. My family and I went back in December to see Neil Diamond's A Beautiful Noise musical in Washington, D.C. And every aspect of that trip, in some way, involved technology. Not only the fact that we used the iPad or iPhone with Safari and with Ticketmaster, you know, to initially book the trip, but also when we got there, because we were able to use our iPhone as the room key at our hotel. We were able to use the iPhone as our ticket with Apple Wallet for the Neil Diamond concert. When we wanted to go to get something to eat, we used our iPhones to book an Uber. And even that night, when we came back from the theater and decided we wanted a pizza from room service, even that was done digitally now. I couldn't believe, I gotta be honest with you. You know, I felt like I was, you know, from a prior generation when I picked up the phone and called and said, "We want to order room service. We know you offer it, but my family doesn't see the room service menu," because I had them look. You know, I've got sighted family. Praise God, they were looking for this thing, and they said, "I don't see the room service menu." I said, "Guys, I said you're just not looking hard enough." I said, "There's room service here. Where there's got to be a menu." Well, they were right. There isn't. They said, "What you do is you scan this little QR code, and it brings up the menu on your phone, and you order from the hotel room service on your phone, and we deliver it right to you," which they did, and it worked out brilliantly. But it's just this idea of a day in the connected digital life that everything can be enhanced by technology. We don't have to go out of our way to obsess over it, right? We don't have to put aside other things, but we can use this technology to enhance every other experience that we have. And it was so cool that you guys were talking about the air fryer ahead of time, because I use that Kosori every day pretty much. And the oven, you know, and the app, I just open up the app and I choose what I want to do. I actually used it today that we had some leftovers that my son and I wanted to have for lunch. Put them in the oven, set it to the correct mode, you know, everything from the iPhone, and it's fully accessible. So it's truly a blessing. But I have a couple features today that I want to actually demo for you that I think you will really enjoy. And the first one is the grocery list feature. I don't know how many people know that that feature, that capability is now built right into iOS. And I'm telling you, from the time that I started using the iPhone back in 2009, I had been trying different grocery list apps and trying to figure out what I thought was the best one. And I would use one for a while and then I would switch and use something else. But Apple has finally taken care of it for us by adding grocery list capabilities to the Reminders app. And the Reminders app, we don't have time to teach the whole thing today, but if you're taking one of our classes that we offer for free, we do teach the Reminders app both on the iPhone and the iPad. And this app is very, very powerful for a lot of other reasons, right? Remind me to water the plants every Sunday at 7 p.m. Or, when I get home, remind me to defrost the chicken, or remind me to call my wife when I leave work. These kinds of things, and it knows where you are. It knows when to remind you. Even now when I'm messaging, so I can say when I am messaging, when I am talking to Janie, remind me to ask her about the state convention in New Jersey. It'll actually bring up a notification when I'm already talking with her. So the Reminders app is powerful in and of itself, and it's fully integrated with iCloud, which means if I have multiple Apple devices, that reminder that I create is going to show up on all the devices. And not only is it compatible with iCloud, but it's compatible with iCloud collaboration, meaning I can share my lists with other people in the family, or perhaps roommates, or coworkers, or whatever it might be, and I can create a list of items, and I can even designate a reminder for a specific person. If there's some sort of thing that I would like my daughter or my son to take care of, that's a specific chore that we've asked them to do, I can actually assign it to them in that reminders list, and I can choose priority. I can do all of these kinds of things. But that's all not even getting into the new grocery list feature. So the new grocery list feature allows you to create a list because you can have multiple lists within reminders. Maybe you didn't know that, but now you do. And you can create a list specifically as a grocery list. When you go into the settings for that list, you have the opportunity to designate it as a standard list or as a grocery list. When you choose to designate it as a grocery list, it automatically creates common grocery store categories. And therefore, when I add an item to that grocery list, it puts it in the correct category. Now, if I don't like the category, let's say I add something, for example, like shrimp. And let's say that it puts the shrimp in the seafood category, but this particular time I intend to get frozen shrimp. So maybe I move that to the freezer category. So you can do that. You can redesignate things. You can create your own categories. But this grocery list really does automatically put all the major store categories in there. So I'd like to take a look at that with you. And I've got my phone right here. I will turn up the volume for you.
Notes, contacts, news, reminders, dump,
and I'm opening reminders.
reminders, new item in household.
I'm already in the grocery list because I will say that's what I use this app most commonly for. It's not the only thing, but it is definitely the most common. And I probably already have some outstanding items on this list. You can choose to view or hide, show or hide the completed items. And when I'm in the store, I like to hide the completed items so that when I check something off, it disappears from the list. But later on, I can show those items and then I can clear them. I can delete all the completed items. I can, any kind of common list actions that you would expect. But here's my.
Grocery heading.
See, I'm in the grocery list. Now, again, you have to create a new list and designate it as a grocery list within the list settings. You can find those in the rotor, or you can long press on the list to get those list settings, and you choose to designate it as a grocery list rather than as a standard list. But I've already done that, and this is a collaborative list. So my family sees what gets added to this list. I get notified if they add something, and vice versa. Let's just look here.
Produce expanded heading.
So apparently we have some
Double
produce
tap to
items.
map oranges incomplete in section produce.
And it says that's incomplete. Oranges. We like to make our own homemade fresh squeezed orange juice around here. So I have that on the list almost all the time. And by the way, you can save a list as a template for future use.
New item in produce button.
Now, if I want to create a new item right there in produce, I can. But let's...
Household items expanded.
All right, so we have...
Scotch tape.
Scotch tape on there. So there's a couple of things that are already on this list. And let me just see if there's anything that I know for a fact that I need to add, because I'm looking at this this list here, and we had just been to the store and got most of these things, but okay, there are a couple of things that I can think of. So let's go down to the bottom of this list, and I'm just going to add
toolbar new item button new item.
Okay, and I'm just going to start typing. And press return after every item that I want to add, and it's going to automatically categorize it for me. So I'm going to buy some more turkey lunch meat, because we like to make turkey clubs. We're just finishing up our turkey, so I'm typing turkey. Now I'll press return.
Dictate. Double tap to categorize turkey as deli, and editing, then magic.
And that is where we want it, deli, because I'm not buying... Old Tommy, right? I'm not buying the whole Thanksgiving turkey. I'm buying the lunch meat. So that's actually correct. And another thing I thought of that I wanted to add to the list in a different category is cupcakes. And this time I'll hit done.
Done, but done lists. Categorized cupcakes as bakery and editing, then magic.
So it's already added that as an in the bakery category. Now, I just remembered something else that I want to add, and I'm going to use SIRI to do it this time to show you that that will work as well. And it's Swiss cheese. So I'm going to say, add Swiss cheese to the grocery list.
Okay. I added Swiss cheese to the grocery list.
Thank you.
No problem.
So now when I go back in to reminders,
reminders, lists, back button, snacks, pretzel, new item, breads, mini donut, bread, new item, others, expanded.
Gotta go up probably a little higher here
new item, hash
to see where the deli category
Swiss,
is. Here it is.
American deli, American cheese, turkey, incomplete, Swiss cheese, incomplete.
And you can hear that it added that through SIRI, and it put it, everything is in the correct category. It's under deli. If I don't like the category of something, I can long press it. And one of the items that I thought maybe might not be in the best category was the cupcakes, because the kind that we buy are probably in the snack section or the bread section. So if I want to, I can long press on cupcakes here under bakery.
Cupcakes.
Long press means double tap and hold, right? Or we can triple tap if we're not comfortable with holding.
Cut button, copy, mark as completed, due date, assign, flag, button, but move to list, but move to section, one item, button, tags, but
so you can move it to a different section right from there. The other way you can do this, I'm going to dismiss that, and I'm going to show you another way.
List cupcakes.
Instead of long pressing, you can use the rotor, and you can go down to enter detail.
Delete, flag, show details, edit title, enter detail.
Enter detail, double tap. And again,
cancel.
We have all these options for due dates if we want to put a date on it or a location, so I know maybe when I pass a specific store. But I'm just going to go down to section. It's near the very bottom.
Add image, subtask, section, bakery, button.
We're going to change that.
Section details, back button, select a set, none, produced, household, dairy, selected, bakery, deli, frozen food, snacks, and candy.
I'd say it's going to go there.
Date off, collect, can't done, button.
And we hit done.
Section, lists, back button, turkey, America, new item, butter, shrimp, dairy,
now,
new item, scotch, new
just
item,
gotta
oranges.
Find it now, more, probably further down. How I can
new
use
item and dairy, deli,
headings.
Swiss cheese, new item, frozen.
Let's just.
New item, snacks and candy, pretzels, cupcakes, incomplete.
And there it is. And you know, if you want to mark these as complete, you just double tap them, and that completes them. So that's how easy it is to work with your list. At the top of this list, on the right,
more button.
There's a more button. That's where you can choose to show or hide the completed items. Once you've shown the completed items, you can delete all of them, or you know what have you. And again, you can save this list as a template for future use. So that's one of the features that I wanted to show you today that I think is really, really helpful for everyday life and has been added in a pretty recent version of iOS. Now I'd like to move on to something else, because according to the time, I still have maybe 15 minutes or so before we go to questions, I think. And so I'd like to show you something else that is new. Now, this particular feature does take advantage of some of the Apple Intelligence capabilities. I'm not going to demonstrate all of those today for the sake of time. There's some really awesome ones and some really cool things. But I want to show you something really neat in particular. What I'm going to do is I'm going to create a voice recording using the Voice Memos app. I will pretend that I'm teaching or that I'm in a class. We really want to model, like, you know, that you're in a class that someone else is teaching, but I'm just going to do all of it. So I'm going to be the teacher. I'm going to be teaching on one of the subjects that I've done a lot of research on and written a book about, which is the Titanic, just for something to do. So we'll do that, and we'll just use, you know, I'll do a 2-minute class of about the Titanic, okay? But we're going to record it as if I'm a student in that class and I want to record the lecture, okay? Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you that we have a written transcript of that class, and I'm even going to have Apple Intelligence provide a summary of what was taught. So this is going to be real cool. So let's launch Voice Memos. For the sake of time, I'll do it this way. Launch Voice Memos.
Record button.
And we're going to be starting to record right now, and I'm going to pretend that I'm the teacher of this class about the Titanic. Students, welcome to our class on the RMS Titanic. Over the next several weeks, we're going to learn a lot about the Titanic. We're going to learn why the ship was even built in the first place. Because ships like Titanic just were not heard of. Nothing that large had ever been built. But we're going to examine all of the factors that led up to the construction of the Titanic. Why was it built? What was its purpose? And you're going to learn that it actually served multiple purposes for different groups of people. We're then going to learn about the sailing practices of the Titanic's owner, White Star Line. Why did they sail through water that was known to have icebergs in it? Did they receive the iceberg warnings that they should have received, and what did they do with them? We're going to learn that really the radio operators did not have to deliver these ice warnings to the captain right away because of the way they were transmitted in the first place. It was a technicality. You're going to learn all about that. You're going to learn about how the ship struck the iceberg and the maneuvers that the officers tried to perform to avoid it. You're going to learn about, was the ship really considered unsinkable? Some people say, no, surely they didn't think it was unsinkable. That's just a myth. But you're going to learn the truth about that. And then you're going to learn about the evacuation procedure. How did we try to get everybody off this ship? Why did some people refuse to go? Why did some people stay on a ship that was going to sink? Were the third class passengers really forced to stay down below deck while the ship took its plunge down to the bottom of the Atlantic? We're going to learn all of this and more. Finally, we're going to learn about the rediscovery of the Titanic, when it was found, and the impact that it has had on society and culture. And interestingly, just a couple years ago, students, there was another ship called the Titan. It was a submersible, went down to see the Titanic, and ended up being destroyed in the process. So we're going to learn all about that and more in this class, and I hope you've come prepared to learn all about the Titanic. Okay, so I've ended that recording using the good old magic tap, and we can just play a second or two of it to show you that it's recorded.
Transcript more action. Track position at replay.
Students, welcome to our class on the RMS Titanic. Okay, so we know that's good. Now, the next thing we're going to do is, and by the way, we can actually record audio right in the Notes app, but I wanted to use voice memos, but we're going to now copy the transcript over to the Notes app. So let's do
edit recorded track position more actions button.
I believe it's under
share edit record option view copy transcript button.
There we go. We're going to say copy transcript. Now, I'm going to create a new note.
Weather, maps, remote, clock, mail, notes, notes.
Okay.
Notes, back button.
What are we in? I'm in a folder here.
Share more, October 20, note, message,
oh, no.
Back button.
Gonna get it.
Folders.
I have a bunch of notes folders, so I'm gonna go to one that I can use here for this purpose. Oh, I have a Titanic folder.
Titanic Day.
Oh no, that was when I went to. Okay, we're gonna go in here. TTJ. All right. So I'm gonna create a new note.
Pamela, new note button. New note. Note. Text field is editing. Word mode.
You remember we copied the transcript. What I'm gonna do now is I'm gonna paste that transcript into this note.
Written character misspelled. Edit. Paste. Students, welcome to our class on the RMS Titanic. Over the next several weeks, we're going to learn a lot about the Titanic.
Okay, so the transcript is there, but now is when things are going to get even more exciting, because what we're going to do is we are going to have Apple Intelligence create a summary automatically for us. So I'm going to select
note.
Depending on what app you're in, sometimes you don't have to select, but I'm going to do it.
Insertion point at start.
Just to be safe.
Misspell, edit, paste, select, scan, tag, insert, select all.
Select all.
Students, welcome.
Now, what we want is we want to go to the writing tools.
Proofread button, rewrite button, open writing tool, cap key, open, high tool, proofread, rewrite, open writing tools, button. Sheet grabber.
Some of them were already there. Proofread and rewrite.
Writing tool. Close. Text field. Describe your change. Submit button.
That uses ChatGPT. You can actually describe a change. But let's keep
proofread button
looking. That would do. Proofread would let us do, not only spelling, but grammatical and construct errors and so forth.
Rewrite button.
Now we can rewrite this, like change the tone of it.
Friendly. Professional, concise,
look
button.
At that, those choices.
Next summary, button.
Here's the summary.
Button, list, but key points, button.
I'm going to do
list, table, key points,
button. I'm going to do key points.
Copy, button.
All right.
Finish rewriting.
It said it's finished, so let's take a look.
Replace, button.
You have the option to
share, but bullet, Titanic's purpose, examining the factors leading to the Titanic's construction, its multiple purposes, and the sailing practices of its owner, White Star Line. Report a concert. Bullet.
So you hear, they're bullet points, and if I let that keep reading, it probably has the rest of it in here, of everything else that we said.
Owner, White Star Line. Bullet, Titanic's sinking, investigating the collision with the iceberg, the evacuation procedures, and the fate of passengers, including third-class passengers. Bullet, Titanic's legacy, exploring the rediscovery of the Titanic, its impact on society and culture, and the recent submersible incident.
Now, tell me how cool that is. That just made three bullet points out of what of everything that I said, and we have the entire transcript, we have the recording, and we have the actual summary that we asked it to create, and I can just hit done. So, I mean, this is powerful stuff, because you are able to go into a lecture, a meeting, anything like that, and it's automatically doing this for you. And of course, that's just scratching the surface. There's so much more that we can do with Apple Intelligence. I mentioned a few things already, like the proofreading and changing the tone. There's ChatGPT integration. So now, for example, if I ask SIRI, which, by the way, she's gotten so much smarter anyway. There's so many questions that she can answer. There's actually very few that she won't answer now. But in some cases, she'll also refer you to ChatGPT. So if I say something like, show me some recipes with chicken and zucchini.
I sent an answer from ChatGPT to your iPhone.
And what it is it's on the screen, and there's a copy button so I can save it to the clipboard. But if I tap on the screen,
zucchini and chicken casserole, layer sliced zucchini, cooked chicken, and a creamy cheese sauce in a baking dish and bake until bubbly. Orzo with chicken and zucchini. cook chicken pieces and zucchini.
So there's multiple recipes, you can hear that.
Bullet check important info. OP eat zucchini and chicken casserole, chicken and zucchini stir fry, grilled chicken and zucchini skewers, copy button.
There's that copy button, so I can copy all of this to the clipboard, I can make it a note, and also, because I happen to have a free, well actually I have the plus version, I don't have the free version, but even with the free ChatGPT account, this will also sync with the ChatGPT app. Now, I've noticed that that can take some time. It's not instant. But if I were to come back tonight and open up the ChatGPT app, that request that I just made will show up in the history within the ChatGPT app, along with the recipe results that SIRI gave me from ChatGPT. So I technically don't even have to copy this to a note or something, as long as I'm willing to just wait a few hours, I can come back and see it in the app as well. So you have a couple of ways to do that. And one of my favorite things to do, I demonstrated this last week on the tech call, so some of you heard this, but I'm going to do it again. If we go into photos and someone sends me, I don't have to actually be in the photos app, I can be, but maybe let's say someone sent you a photo in a text message and you want to know what it is. Now, we have our image description that VoiceOver gives.
Recent days, button library, adult, live video, vertical, live photo, date, February 8th, time, 6:03 p.m. More content available.
Let's see what this is.
Close, home, February, more, live photo, button, pop-up button, personal library, photo chooser, share, favored, info, edit, delete, live photo, date, February 8th, time, 6:03 p.m. Actions available, more content available, a person holding a piece of chocolate in their hand, crisp.
Okay, I'm not sure what I have in the picture there, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say to SIRI, what's in this photo?
Do you want me to send this photo to ChatGPT?
Yes, please.
This photo shows a chocolate lollipop shaped like a rabbit's face. The candy has white and red details and is wrapped in clear plastic packaging. The background includes a glimpse of a carpeted floor and furniture. That was from ChatGPT. Check important info for mistakes.
And she could not be more correct. I remember now exactly what happened. We had, there we go. We had gotten those for the family for Christmas, and my daughter, before she ate hers, wanted to take a picture of it because she thought it was really cute. So we used my phone and took a picture of it before she ate it. So that's exactly what that was. So you can see how powerful this is. And speaking of images, because I know, you know, even though we can't see, sometimes we like to do what our sighted counterparts do, and we like to include different pictures and emojis and so forth in our messages and so on. And with the new Apple Intelligence feature called Image Playground, I'm not going to demonstrate it for the sake of time, but you can actually go into Image Playground and you can specify all using words what image you want. Like I had it doing. I did a lot of them with a puppy because we have a dog, and so like I went in there and I had it create one with a dog. Surrounded by bubbles, like taking a bubble bath. And I had it do another one with a dog holding a slice of pizza. And all of these things really work, and it creates these images for you, and you can create them even based on people in your library. It's not going to create a real photo with the person in it, right? They're trying to, I think, avoid people doing deceptive and malicious things, right? So they don't want you to do a photo of your least favorite political candidate in a garbage can somewhere or something, you know, so they're not going to let you actually have a real photo. But what they'll do is they'll create an animation or a sketch based upon a person's face, upon, you know, whatever parameters you set. So you can choose people from your library. Type the words that you want to include in that, you know, photo, like I said, like a dog holding a slice of pizza, and then that's what the image came out to be. So this is really, really cool. And, you know, we're just seeing the beginning of the Apple Intelligence features. There's going to be so much more to go. And I want to do one final thing Because I believe Janie said about 40 minutes plus questions. So I got about 4 minutes left. I want to do one final thing because I want to cover something that was introduced this year that I know has been a point of contention for some people. Now, I personally don't have any problem with it. I don't mind it, but some people are frustrated by the new category system in the Mail app. So I just want to do you a favor and show you how to use it and how to avoid it if you don't want it. So I would encourage you to spend some time with it because like any new feature, you may or may not end up liking it, but it actually is created with a purpose. So give it a chance, try it out. But if you don't like it, it's totally able to be disabled. So let's go in
weather
to
mail one
the mail app.
Mail.
Dismiss a notification here.
Mailboxes. Mail.
Okay, it already went away. All right, so I'm in my universal inbox.
Select more. All inboxes. Heading.
All inboxes. And we can see the categories.
Search. Dictate. Primary. Button. Transactions. Button. Updates. Button. Promotions. Button.
So if I select one of those categories.
Up. Primary. Selected. Primary. Transactions. Updates. Promotions. Jessica Volbrecht. Dinner. Unread. Short even. Num. Unread. Mark. JC Knight replied, Myrna.
All of these are listed here as priority messages that it thinks are either time sensitive or really important to me. And I can select any other category to see what's in it. If I want to see all categories and not separate them out, I deselect whatever is selected. So you remember right now priority is selected, right?
All in
or I mean primary, excuse me.
Search, dict selected. Primary button.
Now all I have to do is double tap that to deselect it.
Primary.
And now look what happens.
Transactions, updates, promotions, selected, all mail button.
Now it has selected all mail and I can see everything. Now, if even that's not enough, if I'm just really, really not into these categories at all, there is a more button up here at the top right.
More button. Categories. List view.
And we can choose list view, and then we will not see the categories.
Okay.
They will still be, they'll still be announced, like if you let the message read and voiceover read all the headers, it'll still announce what category they're in, but you no longer will see the categories at the top of the screen. You'll just see a chronological list of all the email messages in your whichever mailbox you're in, just like you're used to. So you have that choice. Now, one other thing, in your mail settings, you can determine what the badge count indicates. Let me explain to you what I mean. If I touch the status bar at the very bottom of the screen here in the Mail app,
toolbar updated just now, 163 unread.
You hear that I have 163 unread messages that I need to look at or delete or go through. But if I get out of the app and I just touch the mail icon,
mail, two unread emails.
You notice,
double tap to open.
It's only saying two unread emails. Now, why is that? Is that a bug? No, it's not. There is a setting under your mail settings. You go to settings, apps, and mail. And there's a setting there that is telling me I can badge, and you know what a badge is. It's the count on the app, like it said, two unread. That's called a badge, okay? I can either badge all the unread messages or only the unread messages in the primary category. And that's what's happening right now. So out of 163 messages, there are only two unread messages that Apple thinks are that my iPhone thinks are primary. The rest of them might be promotions or transactions or other, you know, updates. So if I don't like that either, I can also go into the settings and change that. And I really haven't decided yet because they only brought this feature to the iPhone so far, not the iPad and the Mac yet, although that I have to tell you, probably just hang on for another update. But, you know, until I see it on all the devices, I haven't fully decided whether I want to use it or how. But that's some options, and that's a little bit of a demo of some of what's new and some of what I've been using recently, what I think will make your life easier. And I hope you've enjoyed it. And I'm going to turn things over to Janie to handle however you wish to do so.
Very good. Thank you, Matt, as always. And before you leave, we want all the information about your website and all the classes that you're offering. But let's see if there's any hands raised for some questions. I'm going to ask Stuart and Tracy to help me out with that.
I don't see any hands raised yet.
Eureka.
Eureka, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Yes. Is this only on the iPhone 16 or is it on any other iPhone?
So some of what I showed today, like the grocery lists and the mail categories and so forth, are pretty much across the board. The Apple Intelligence features specifically are on the 15 Pro and newer, and then also on any iPad, any of the modern iPads except the 10th generation one. There's a rumor that's going to be updated soon to an 11th generation one, but most of the iPads and any iPhone 15 Pro or newer has the Apple Intelligence features.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Anybody else?
I don't see any hands up.
Okay, so then we'll have you do your story about how you got started and where you are now with the .biz versus the .original and all the nice offerings you have and how they can subscribe to what you're sharing for free.
Okay. All right. Absolutely. And you know, if there's time, then I'm happy to take other questions. If there, you know, are any, this will be quick. But yes, this is something... So I've been a user of technology all my life, blind since the age of 3, and started out with, you know, your traditional Braille Mate and Braille and Speak and all of these things, you know, and eventually got into using computers and JAWS and so on. But in the year 2009, I switched over to all Apple and very excited to do so. So I got a Mac. And then the iPhone, the iPod Touch, eventually the iPad when that was released, all of these products, and the Apple TV and so forth and everything. And I saw the potential for these things to truly revolutionize the way that we work, that we play, that we communicate, that we express ourselves. I saw them as life-changing and empowering devices. You know, you've got another friend of the NFB there who you might know by name, David Dino Terrace. Dave and I have worked together very closely a number of times, and he's a great friend. And you know, Dave used to say, I'm paraphrasing a little, but he used to say, you know, there's nothing more fun than finding out you can do something independently that you previously didn't think you could do before. And that's exactly what these Apple products have enabled us to do. And it really came to my attention, and I truly believe it was a calling from God, but the earthly catalyst that he used was the release of some of these newer Apple products and how inexpensive they were compared to other models and how more and more people can access them. And I realized, you know, people need proper training on this stuff because that's what's going to empower them to use them for all these things. Maybe they don't even realize they can do an entire podcast from their iPad or, you know, a grocery list from their iPhone or whatever the case may be. And so that's when we decided back in 2018 to start offer training. And we wanted to offer it as God has led me to do so at no charge. Now, I do offer paid services as well. You know, I have to mention that. As a good business owner should mention that, right? And so if you want one-on-one customized, personalized training, absolutely you can pay me for that. And I offer those services. But we're going to keep offering these free services as well. And every year we do an entire training season of free classes, plus we have free help sessions where you can come in and simply ask your questions in Zoom about any Apple product or related technology. And so we offer this all the way from pretty much September through May. We're in our iPad class now, but it's just started, so you still can join. And all the classes that we offer for free, we also record them, and we make them available on our podcast. So even if you miss a session or two, you know, or you just want to go back, you can listen to the recordings too. But our iPad class is the final one on the schedule for this season. It's going to take us all the way through May 29th, and then we'll take a break for the summer and, you know, be back in the fall. But we have... this class just started. If you want to learn how to use the iPad as a productivity tool, if you're already comfortable with VoiceOver, but you want to learn now, well, how do I do a podcast? How do I edit audio? How do I create spreadsheets and, you know, accept payments and all these other kinds of things? We're going to cover that in this very, very extensive iPad class. Now, we have a website. As Janie mentioned, we had a different one before, and we moved over to a new platform that has a lot of promise with accessibility. They're kind of in a transition period right now with some of their back-end stuff, but there's going to be a ton of accessibility features added here in the coming months. And this platform allows us to create our websites, accept payments, and do all of these other things. And so we have ttjtech.biz. That is our web address, TTJ Tech. So Tango, Juliet, and then the word tech, T-E-C-H, biz, Bravo Indigo Zulu. And I know Jane's always happy to forward that to you if you need it again later. But ttjtech.biz has everything you need to know. It has a way to get in contact with us by phone or by email. It has a subscribe button so you can subscribe to our newsletter so you'll know when we're offering the free classes and what we're offering. It has a link to all of our free, including our free Tuesday and Saturday help sessions. And then we even have a link to our podcast and our YouTube channel. So we've got all these classes available there, all the free classes. You can go back and you can listen. And these are things that, you know, we offer a class in the fall called VoiceOver In and Out. And so if you're just getting started and you're new to the iPhone and new to touch screens and new to VoiceOver, that is the class for you, because that is going to truly take you from the ground up with VoiceOver on the iPhone. And again, we offer that every fall. And then we typically do, we just finished an Apple TV course and a HomePod course and Apple Watch. And so now we're doing the iPad, our flagship course, and we'll finish out the season with that. But you can visit our website, subscribe to the newsletter, check out the podcast, and come to all the free sessions. And we hope to have you there. And I really, really thank you for this this opportunity today.
Very good. I think
Joe has his hand raised.
Very good, Joe. You have the floor, honey.
Yep. I just wanted to say thanks for the info on getting rid of those categories in the email. I've been wondering how to get rid of them, and now they're gone.
Great.
Well, there you go. Glad we could help.
Patricia Dropper has her hand raised.
Very good. Thank you, Joe. Patty, go ahead, honey. You have the floor.
Yes. With all these darn QR codes appearing everywhere, how do we access them?
I want to know that.
Is there a special thing in the, you know, in the iPhone that we can get to easily that'll let you do that?
There is. You can add what's called code scanner to the control center. If you're familiar with the control center, which has like your airplane mode and Wi-Fi icons and those kinds of things, there is an edit button. There's an add controls button in there. You can add other items that are not already in there, like screen recording and things like that. One of those options is a code scanner, and that's how I most often scan QR codes, just in the control center. Once you add that control, you don't need to download any app or anything. You know, the biggest thing I find, as somebody who has no recollection of sight, because I went blind at the age of 3, I find sometimes that I've got to have a few tries to get it lined up just right. And if, you know, if my wife or kids are there, they'll help me. Otherwise, I just, you know, try it 2 or 3 times. And what you find is the muscle memory eventually helps you. The other day, I did a FaceTime call with my daughter, because I wanted to bring up a case of cherry Coca-Cola from the basement. And I didn't know whether I was grabbing Dr. Pepper or root beer or what I grabbed. And so when I held up the phone, because she was in the house, she didn't want to come out, it was cold outside, I held it up to the phone, and she said, "Oh, that's cherry." I said, "How did you know that quickly?" She said, "Well, because you held up the correct side that had the label on." I said, "Oh, so this is the side that had," and I touched it. She said, "Yeah, that's," I said, "Okay, well, now if you're asleep, I can use Be My AI, because I know which side to hold it up to." And she said, "Well, how are you going to know?" I said, "Well, I can feel where the, you know, the open and all that." So there's some muscle memory with finding out where these codes are, and it may take you a few tries. But yes, from a technology standpoint, just the control center, add controls, and just add that code scanner, and that's what you invoke to scan the codes then.
Okay, and a quick follow-up. If you're watching television and you see, get the QR code from the screen, how far away do you have to be from the TV itself?
I would say probably an arm's length or a little more. You know, it's very deceptive, because if we've never seen or don't remember seeing, you know, we kind of think of it like sound, right? Like if I want to hear you better, I get closer to you.
Right.
But the same is not true with sight, because if you get too close, you narrow the field of vision so much that you can't really, the device can't make out what it needs
got
to see.
It.
So a little bit further away is usually better, but again, you might have to experiment and get muscle memory really developed there.
Cool. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Deborah Prince.
Okay, Stuart has raised his hand.
Stuart. Thank you, Tracy. Stuart, you have the floor.
Okay, I have it.
Patty, mute yourself, please. Thank you. Stuart, go ahead. You have the floor.
Go. No, Deborah, my wife wants to ask.
She's allowed to. Go ahead, Deborah.
Okay, good. I have several questions. Number one, what's the name of your podcast? Can I find it on the Victor stream? Number two is, okay, I heard someone talked about this yesterday or so, but I wasn't here. When you send a message on Siri, it cuts you off in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
You do your whole thing, and it is so annoying. How do you stop that?
Okay, so your first question, the name of the podcast is TTJ Tech Talk. So like Tango, Tango, Juliet, and then a separate word, tech, T-E-C-H, and then the last word, talk, T-A-L-K. Okay. Now, as far as the platforms, we are on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Pandora, a whole bunch of them. I have heard that whatever Victor Stream uses doesn't show our podcast. I have no personal experience with that. But if you can't find it, what I would ask you to do is send me an email, because I can send you an RSS link directly to the RSS feed for that. And so then you ought to be able to subscribe to it regardless of what platform you're using.
Okay, what's your email?
It's info at ttjtech.biz. Info at ttjtech.biz. Okay. All right. And then for your other question, so if you're actually using SIRI strictly hands-free, there's going to be a limit as to how much it will accept. If you're holding down the side button, you can extend that. And I was thinking there's an accessibility option.
There is.
That's what I thought under the Siri accessibility settings.
There is. So you go to settings, accessibility, Siri, there's a one that says pause, and the default is usually hit. The next one is longer.
Right.
And the last one is longest. And if you want to let, I can say three paragraphs and it won't get off. Because I have it on the longest.
Right.
So that's where you would change that.
So thanks for the assistance there, Jane.
So the longest in Siri settings, right?
Yeah, right. You're looking for pause under Siri settings. And then you'll have something to select. And
but under accessibility first. Accessibility, then.
Accessibility, and then what was
then
that?
SIRI, yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And he is also on the Amazon products as well. So if you have an A-Lady.
Yes.
The Tech Talk comes right up.
Yep.
Oh, okay. And what if you want to take like personal, like I have a lot of questions about that, but I mean, I use VoiceOver, but it's just little picky things I need to know that would make it better. Would I pay you and take a personal class, or what do you suggest?
That would certainly be an option, and feel free to just email me and we can set up a call and go over how all of that works. Absolutely.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Tracy, any other hands, honey?
I don't see any.
That was a different voice. Tracy, you got lower. What?
No, this is Stuart.
I know, I'm just teasing you, honey.
She's just being silly.
That's me. You know me, Janie the Silly Matt. Listen, Matt, as always, you do a tremendous job. And it's terrific, the service that you give to the blind community. If you don't take advantage of this, it's shame on you. There's such a lot to learn. If it's overwhelming, you can just sit for a minute and you listen for the first hour and take yourself away. It's really educational. It'll help you. The help sessions are wonderful, because if you have a question or a need, he can answer it. And so he has a wonderful team. And they all do this gratis for the blind community. Can you believe that? It's pretty amazing stuff. So take advantage of it. Like I said before, yesterday I said, if you don't take advantage of it, sometimes things go away, like audio described, or, you know, you go to a theater and you forget to go to the session that's audio described, and they're going to show you the things. And then all of a sudden there's only three people left, and now the theater doesn't do it anymore because nobody came. You know, this is what we're doing, and this is what he's doing to help us. So Matt, as always, I love you dearly, and I'm so grateful to you and all the things that you do for the blind community.
Same to you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. And because we have extra time, Judy, it's woohoo, woohoo, with store prize.
Right.
All right.
Echo.
Give me a number between 1 and 34.
Here's a number between 1 and 34. It's 26.
26 is here it is. Patrice.
I'm here.
Yay.
Don't just say you're here. What do you have to say?
You have to say, woohoo.
Woohoo. Let me hear it.
Okay.
Very good. Okay, we can do our 5 seconds of quiet and then we'll move to the next section. Thank you everyone for being here for today and for the last tech meeting that we had. I really appreciated all of you listening, asking questions, and hopefully learning.
Thank you for spending your time with us today. We appreciate your participation. For more information, contact President Glenn Crosby at nfbseniors@gmail.com or call 443-681-9345. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.